Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Hey, how's it? It's Point of View with me, Govan Whittles. I'm standing in for Pamelo, who will be back tomorrow. And, we're off to a frustrating start. And now it's about to get skeptical, right? Because it's probably going to be our president's most important meeting for the year. Cyril Ramaphosa meets Donald Trump in the White House's Oval Office tomorrow. And there's plenty happening on the sidelines, from a Starlink deal that the EFF says is illegal to the potential inclusion of our very own Johann Rupert in that meeting. What do you guys think of that, eh? Let me know your thoughts. Get in touch with us. Tweet us on at Kaya on Air. You can call us on 086-000-959. The WhatsApp line is 063-688-0959. Tweet me as well on my personal account. It's at Govan Whittles. So our president spoke outside the South African embassy in Washington a little earlier, right? He was asked a few questions by journalists. Let's have a listen.
To have really good discussions with President Trump and his fellow government colleagues. I'm looking forward to a really good and positive meeting, and we're looking forward to a very good outcome for our country, for our people, for the jobs in our country, and good trade relations, and to normalize relations between our two countries.
The economic imperative is the most imperative, is it not, Mr. President? The economic imperative is the most important here.
Well, the trade relations are the most important. That's what has brought us here. We want to come out of the United States with a really good trade deal, investment promotion. We invest in the United States and they invest in us. And we want to strengthen those relations. And we want to consolidate good relations between our two countries. So I'm very positive. I'm looking forward to the discussions
we're going
to.
South African sovereignty, Mr. President, lots are concerned that maybe you'll be conceding too much to the likes of Trump, Elon Musk, Starlink. Is that on the table, Mr. President?
Well, we are a sovereign country, and we are a very proud nation, and we preserve our sovereignty, and we will always do what is best for South Africans.
Mr. President, Trudy Matia, long time no see. Mr. President, this meeting also happens when there's a geopolitical shift. America itself is starting to shift as far as Israel is concerned. What are your thoughts about that? South Africa has been lambasted for its position. Now you're seeing a change even this side of the world. Your thoughts about that and how that will influence the conversation?
Well, we are going to have an opportunity to discuss geopolitical issues, not only Israel, but also Ukraine. And so all these matters will be on the table for proper discussion. And we are very rational when it comes to discussing global and geopolitical matters. And we will put South Africa's interests first, and our own foreign policy positions will be well clarified. So fear not. We are going to have a really good meeting.
Being humiliated, Mr. President, a Zelensky moment. Cyril Ramaphosa, the man, is he prepared?
Well, South Africans are never humiliated, are they? South Africans always go into everything holding their heads high. So we are not...
You, Mr. President.
Me?
Yes. Are you prepared? Cyril Ramaphosa, the individual, the negotiator. Are you talking about
those? Mr. President, I asked your spokesperson yesterday whose handicap is better, yours or Donald Trump's. I mean, this could come down to your personal relationship. Donald Trump is known to be a transactional president. He doesn't like to be beaten on the golf course either. Are you ready to navigate those waters?
I also don't like to be beaten on the golf course. So I play golf like he does. So maybe one day we'll have a good round of golf.
Hey, that's our president, Cyril Ramaphosa, speaking outside the South African embassy to journalists. Tidi Madia, Ziyanda Ngobo, Sherwin Bryce Pierce, questioning the president there. You know, it might actually come down to the golf, but let's not take our eye off the ball here. This is really about trade, you know. The tariffs that have been imposed are heavy. And to help us make sense of it all, we have Professor of International Relations at Wits University, John Stremlau. Prof, it really does seem hard to predict what will happen. Welcome to the show. What did you think of what the president said today?
Well, I thought was he was very reassuring. He will put South Africa's interests first. He is a trained constitutional lawyer. He does read a lot, and he thinks a lot. And none of that attributes apply to Donald Trump, who is irresponsible, ignorant, and mean. And so, you know, I think that the president is the only adult in the room relative to Donald Trump.
The last person we saw treat Donald Trump with a measure of, let's say, or an attitude which reflects what the broader world seems to think of him was Zelensky. Vladimir Zelensky,
well,
that went terribly.
Zelensky was caught off guard, and I don't think that the South African team will allow themselves to be put in a similar position. I actually expect something of an anticlimax from this meeting, although you were right to put the emphasis on the trade and economic issues, because those are vital for the economic recovery of South Africa. And we know from the budget speech and the debate around it how much South Africa is overextended economically. And, you know, the trading relationship with the United States is in surplus, has been in surplus. And South Africa has platinum to bargain with. And so I think that cooler heads will prevail on the economic front. But on the political issues that he referred to, I think that South Africa can hold its head high and won't take any malarkey from Donald Trump, you know, who barely makes coherent sense. I mean, I've seen the clips from the Middle East trip, and it's embarrassing at a time when everyone's debating about Joe Biden, but Donald Trump is barely coherent.
Yeah, that Middle Eastern trip was interesting for a number of reasons, least of all because it's the first trip he undertook without the press corps from the wire service accompanying him. And I think that says a lot about the kind of leader of the free world that he styles himself to be. But back to our conversation between South Africa and the U.S., Prof. You know, Donald Trump, the president of the U.S., says there's a genocide happening of white Afrikaans speakers in South Africa. And obviously our president will disagree. I mean, we expect him to, and we hope that he'll do it bluntly.
He will.
But do you think that could create a stalemate that could collapse talks about trade? I mean, could it get down to such a petty point?
Well, I hope not. But if it does, it does. But I hope not, and I don't think it will. But you're right to point out that Trump... The ignorance in that February 7th executive order that condemned South Africa to no assistance and said that the officers would be welcomed at a time when he's putting people of color on boats by the thousands. And it just shows you how racist that Donald Trump is. He's a white nationalist, he's a tribalist, and we were warned by Trevor Noah, for heaven's sakes, back in 2016 by comparing Donald Trump to tinhorn African dictators.
But you know, our president doesn't tolerate racists, and he's not going to pander to them. So what are the chances of this thing collapsing before it even takes off?
Well, don't forget that American-South African relations are far more complex than this idiot in the White House today. I mean, and he will—he's already a lame duck, and you don't know what the congressional elections will bring next year. But you know, he's flooding the zone now, and he's creating collateral damage all over Africa. Really cruel collateral damage by the closing of AID and other things that he's flooded the zone with, without thinking and without planning and without knowledge. And so, you know, Cyril Ramaphosa has his work cut out for him, but he will only go so far. And I have absolute confidence in the team that he's got with him, and not only my confidence in him as a person and a person of substance and a reasonable guy, but he won't tolerate being pushed around by Donald Trump.
I think you might be right. We're talking to Professor John Stremlau, Professor of the International Relations Department at Wits University, about that meeting, that crucial meeting tomorrow. Prof, you know, just before the show, I saw Elon Musk has again criticized South Africa, saying we have racial laws. After it emerged that there was apparently a Starlink deal that would be offered to him, one that the EFF says is illegal. Let's have a listen to what Elon Musk has to say.
First of all, you should be questioning why are there racist laws in South Africa? That's the first problem. That's what you should be attacking. It's improper for there to be racist laws in South Africa. The whole idea with what Nelson Mandela, who was a great man, proposed was that all races should be on an equal footing in South Africa. That's the right thing to do, not to replace one set of racist laws with another set of racist laws, which is utterly wrong and improper. So that's the deal, that all races should be treated equally, and there should be no preference given to one or the other. Whereas there are now 140 laws in South Africa that give give strong preference to if you're a black South African, and not otherwise. And so now I'm in this absurd situation where I was born in South Africa but cannot get a license to operate in Starlink because I'm not black.
Well, it looks...
That's Elon Musk. Can you believe the nerve of this guy? He says that after we've apparently offered the Starlink deal and a workaround around the BEE laws ahead of the meeting. Do you think offering the deal to Musk will sweeten these talks, Prof?
No, I don't, but I do think that it was right for South Africa to go the extra mile, and it reveals Elon Musk for the racist that he is, and the ahistorical nature of his. You know, he's a smart guy who can build Teslas, but he knows no or acknowledges none of the history, and you know, 50% of the land is still owned by 7% of the whites, and it's unfair and unjust, and the South African government has gone the extra mile to make South Africa viable, but nevertheless, there's got to be a historical reckoning, otherwise we won't dig out of the inequities that are pervasive and that we all know so well. I'm a very privileged guy living in Parkview and teaching at Wits, but I can certainly see the realities clear as a bell, and Elon Musk doesn't.
Yeah, I think that's what's disappointing about him, Prof. I'd just like to get your view on what do you think the best case outcome and the worst case outcome is for this week, for our president and these talks with Donald Trump?
I think it's the wrong question because I wouldn't know what a best case is. I will certainly look forward to the results of the deliberations in the next day or so. But I wouldn't know what the worst case is because Donald Trump, again, I repeat myself, is a phenomenon that was duly elected. Mind you, had he lost, he would have protested that the election wasn't fair. But I observed that election. I went for the Carter Center, and I know that it was a fair election. Why people voted for him is another question, which has to be understood, and the Democrats are struggling with that right now, as the Republicans are. But it's just not right to predict either or, because it'll be, and I think it'll be anticlimactic, as I've said before, a compromise that may be possible in the economic realm, but on race it's not possible, and on DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, that's in the heart of the South African Constitution of 1996.
Yeah, Professor John Stremlau, thanks so much for coming on. I think
My
you've
pleasure.
Cleared the air, and
My
we appreciate you doing so.
Bye-bye.
Right. I mean, the professor does something for us tonight that I think has been missing in our contemplation about tomorrow's meeting. We've been so worried that Donald Trump will embarrass our president, we've forgotten that our president holds the moral high ground. We're the ones that are governing our country on a set of values that are internationally recognized. And Donald Trump is going against the curve. After the break, we'll have Thebe Ikalifeng standing by. What will these talks mean for brand South Africa? Are we buying face or saving face? You're listening to Point of View with me, Govan Whittle, standing in for Pamelo. And let me know what you think. Send your voice notes or give us a call.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
Hey, let me hear what you think, people in the South, in Mfuleni. What did you think of that conversation with the MEC and with the DA constituency head? And what do you think our president is going to say when he meets Donald Trump for the first time? What would be a good icebreaker? Let me get those voice notes on the WhatsApp line on 063-688-0959. Or call us on 086-000-959. Right, so look, it's not just a big week for trade talks. It's a really, really big moment for brand South Africa, right? And in many ways, our reputation is on the line. Essentially, our president has to be the quintessential South African. And I don't think that we can afford to look weak. Eh? That's one thing we don't do in South Africa. Like, we don't look weak. We win rugby World Cups. We have the world's strongest man. We have billionaires in our country. And we don't look weak on international stages. Who better to talk to us about that than Dr. Thebe Ikalifeng, the founder of Brand Africa, probably the most prominent marketing guru in South Africa. Thank you so much, Thebe, for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Well, and how are you? Good to hear you on radio.
Yeah, thanks. I'm really happy to be on radio. Welcome to Point of View. So,
thank you, sir.
How big is this moment for our brand as South Africa?
Well, it's a big moment. It's a big moment because it's an opportunity for us to put our case forward in an international forum, because for months and months on end, there's been a narrative created about brand South Africa, and we have not really had an opportunity to put our side of the case. So it's a big moment.
So how does it look? What are the optics around our president going to the U.S. to go set things straight with Donald Trump? I know that the Donald Trump has tried to make it seem like, yeah, they're coming to us because I'm so powerful, right? But what are the optics?
Well, the optics, let's talk about, there's a couple of optics. Let's look at the physical optics. The physical optics, you've got Steenhuisen, who comes from the DA and is the Minister of Agriculture. You've got Tao from trade. You've got diplomat. So it's actually an incredibly beautiful mix, a strategic mix of the right people for this type of conversation with the Donald Trump. From a DA perspective, remember they've been going up and down with the Freedom Forum. They've been going to America and all over the world stating their case about or for or against South Africa. And so now having one of them as part of this delegation, they have to be on the side of South Africa. So it's a test over and a show of a united South Africa, of this unity that Trump is trying to, or everybody else is trying to say does not exist. So from that part of optics is interesting. The second part of the optics is apparently Johann Rupert is there.
Yeah.
And then you've got Cyril Ramaphosa, President Cyril Ramaphosa, who apparently is a billionaire, and apparently, on the record, Rupert is a billionaire. So now, who does Trump like doing business with? This is a transactional presidency, and it's a transactional individual. So he's now doing business, quote unquote, because this is business to him. He's doing business with two very wealthy people who speak his language, who understand the transactional language. So that's the second part. The third one is Trump always, you know, his book is The Art of the Deal, which he talks about negotiation, striking deals. He's a man who prides himself on his ability to negotiate. Now, who do we have here? We have the man in our president who's the man who negotiated the terms of the new South Africa that we're in. So on those three levels, from an optics perspective, you couldn't have a better mix of people to represent South Africa.
You know,
I guess what you're talking about, the other optics is the question that you asked earlier. Are we saving face or are we buying face? Well, we are buying face, and that's not a bad thing because buying face is strategic. Buying face is calculated diplomacy. Buying face is the right thing to do. We're not saving face in that we are not going there with our tail between our legs.
Yo, you know, it might be the right thing to do, Tebe, but you know, we're so proud, eh? we don't want to be seen to be doing that. I wanted to ask you, I'm not certain about this. Is Johann Rupert, our billionaire extraordinaire, being there and possibly being in the meeting, is that good for the image of our president, or is it bad?
Remember, when you are going to negotiate, sometimes just because you have the, let's call the position as a political position, you're the lead guy, does not necessarily mean that you also have to be at the lead to negotiate this. It just means that from a leadership perspective, that you have the ability to put together the right team to strike the right deal for South Africa. To me, that is the mark of leadership. I mean, so Nelson Mandela himself was not in every single meeting at CODESA. I mean, he had the Jacob Zumas, he had the Cyril Ramaphosa, he had several other people speaking for him. That's the mark of leadership, when you are able to identify the right people to take along or to send ahead.
Yeah, well, I mean, personally, if Afrikaners are saying there's a genocide happening, I can think of no other Afrikaner and farmer who I'd want to say, no, that's not happening, than Johann Rupert.
I mean, Johann Rupert and the Minister of Agriculture, who will know one or two things about the state of land. I mean, the one person who will put it on record that 7% of the people own 70%, 7% of the country own 70% of the land. That is an argument that he can articulate and that he can attest to. And, you know, Johann Rupert, I was in Stellenbosch, I was in Franschhoek this weekend. Same thing, Stellenbosch, Franschhoek, that whole area. None of us live there, and most of that land is not ours. So,
yeah, listen, that's the inconvenient reality of South Africa, Tebe. You know, right. South Africans are known for holding the moral high ground, right? Especially when it comes to our human rights track record. Do you think that could be used in these talks, or are we? Do you think it's better to go in with a more humble approach and say, thank you very much for this meeting, there's a few things we need to straighten out?
Well, that's the wrong thing to take into this meeting. And matter of fact, when Trump was in a meeting in the UAE and Saudi last week, one of the things he was quoted on saying is that, I'm not here to come and judge countries through a moral lens. I'm here to judge countries through what deals we can make, a transactional lens. So he put a transactional lens on how he's going to engage with these countries, and said he leave the countries to do what they want, what they see is quote unquote the moral and right things to do. And in this instance, it's actually the wrong thing for us, because our stance on ICJ, our stance in Palestine, is actually the elephant in the room. And more than the 49 Afrikaners who went there on a long vacation, may they enjoy their time in America. And because we are left with the 4.9 million Afrikaners here in South Africa who want to be a part of building a new South Africa.
Well, I've seen a lot of reporting on questioning whether or not Trump could convince South Africa to drop that ICJ case or their stance on Israel. I don't see that happening at all. But Tebe, I want to know from you, you know, I've been thinking about this for a while. What do you think is the most embarrassing thing that can happen for us?
Well, the most embarrassing thing that could happen, and let's assume it's a setup like the Zelensky one. The most embarrassing thing, it could be a shouting match or a match or a public, if you will, disagreement. But I don't think we should worry about that happening, because we've seen President Ramaphosa in these instances. I mean, if he has one strength, it's the ability to hold it in, if you will. I mean, if you recall, a couple of months ago when we had when there was a diplomatic row between South Africa and Rwanda, you never saw President Cyril Ramaphosa going on Twitter. You never saw him on the record screaming and shouting back at Rwanda. Instead, he held it back and says, "We will deal with this in the right channels." Yep. And I think the worst thing that could happen is what happened there. Perhaps some of the surrogates trying to bait South Africa to argue about this. The most embarrassing that could happen is Elon Musk being in the meeting and bringing up the same argument that he brought up just before TV.
Can you imagine that?
And maybe that's what, you know, that could be one of the most embarrassing things.
Yes.
But I think Cyril knows how to answer these things. He knows how to respond to these things while keeping his calm and his dignity. South Africa is a very dignified country, and South Africa should go there with his head up high. We've been through worse. We've been through 400 years of apartheid and colonialism. Mm-hmm. We can't be defeated by 4 years of a presidency.
I like that. You know, the resolve is still there. Tebe, you've been doing this for a long time, right? What advice would you give the PR and marketing team that are with the president right now?
Well, the PR and marketing team that are there, their job actually is to do what all countries do, which is to try and all align on the story for South Africa and to ensure that the story of South Africa goes out to all the channels that we can. See, the mistake that we've made as South Africa up to now is we have tried to keep this thing in between WhatsApp groups and between Twitters. We ought to have found other ways, whether it's third-party engagements, get people in America. And we begin to see that, by the way, now that our 49 food seekers are in America.
They're our countrymen, eh? They just deserted us.
The 49 are called food seekers, but the rest of them are countrymen. But now that they're there, you're beginning to see even Americans coming on and talking about, but we've been to South Africa.
Yes.
Are you with me? We've never seen these things. And I think the right thing that our PR team should be doing, our country should be doing, is to find those strategic voices in America who invite them to experience South Africa themselves. Because remember, a lot of people are talking about this country and they've never even been here. They are talking about something that they read on a Twitter of somebody who's got $400 billion fortune. Because as you saw last week with Grok, who was able to manipulate a technology to be able to say the wrong things about a country.
Mm. Tebe, thanks. Your insights are always valuable. And I think that I'm on an even footing right now. How are you guys feeling? I think Tebe has done for you, hopefully, what he's done for me. And I want to thank you again, Dr. Ikalifeng, for joining us. I appreciate
it. Thank you so much, Robin. All the best.
Yep. And Tebe's right. You know, we are on a strong footing, and our president is a master negotiator. We have a call coming in from Garankuwa. It's Kamogelo, wants to talk to us about President Ramaphosa and President Trump meeting tomorrow. Kamogelo, what's up? Welcome to Point of View.
Yes, this topic is very intriguing. However, I'm very disappointed in America in the way they have handled this situation, because I believe that they have more resources than many countries in the world. They've got CIAs, they are like the masters of intelligence. And when they are needed to utilize what they have, it seems like their softwares are down. How can you really not vet the information before presenting it to the public, or rather the world? And now our president is entertaining them by going there, using our state money and resources to try to appease people that they know.
You really think it's appeasement?
I think that.
No, he has to go, man. He has to go set the record straight. And there's a lot of money on the line. There's big trade. America is our second biggest trading partner.
It is. And I think now it's time for a reckoning for our country to look at other avenues, because now this is what they hold upon us. It will be an argument in 50 years after here, saying that, yes, America is our second biggest trade. And what's the use now? Because every time when they sneeze, we have to run and get the tissue for them, and which is not good for an ordinary South African like me who's listening to this, and they find it absurd for our president to even miss the budget for this. For me, it's a mission of a peace that going there to try to make Trump understand. And I think Trump is so naive to even believe this. I mean,
it might be more nefarious than you think, Kamohelo. Thank you so much for giving us a call. And you know, I'm not happy that our president is missing the budget either, and that our deputy president is out. But don't worry, we've got Minister Gwede Mantashe in charge. So, and he's told us before, you know, when he's in charge, he's in charge. So I think that we should probably relax and know that what's going to happen now is the securing of our future. And trade with America is important, even if we have to go there to secure the next 4 years. So I'm in support of the visit, but like everyone else and like you, Kamohelo, I'm also, you know, a little bit irritated that we had to undertake it in the first place. The time is now almost 9:05. You're listening to Point of View with me, Govan Whittle, standing in for Pamela Motene. Listen, keep those voice notes coming, keep those calls coming. In a moment, we'll be speaking about the withdrawal of U.S. funding for our HIV/AIDS treatment program. We have the Global HIV Treatment Coalition on the line, and we'll continue the conversation about what to expect. Will CR make Donald Trump pay back the money for the HIV/AIDS treatment?
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.